Hello, everybody. Welcome, Option at Experimental Sound Studio. Very pleased to have with us cellist, electronic musician, improviser, Ismail Ali. Ismail.
Tim, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here.
Much appreciated. You
know. Yeah, and thanks for that lovely concert.
Thanks.
It was really nice to hear you again. It's been a little while.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, hope maybe we can start off with just a little bit of background. I just wanted to ask, maybe, are you from the Chicago area originally?
No, I'm from Ohio, Columbus, Ohio. It's about 5-6 hours east of here.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, you had some Ohio stories. I think when we first met, you told me some Columbus stories.
I have some stories connected to Columbus. And, you know, maybe if we find ourselves on a program where you're interviewing me, I'll tell you some Columbus
stories.
Sure, yeah. I think...
Yeah. I don't know if that's... yes, that's appropriate. You know. But, I came out here in 2013 for grad school. And then I was here for 8 or so years.
Cool. And when you got here, what was the terrain like for you? Did you show up? Did you already have a little bit of knowledge about improvised music scene in Chicago? Was that a decision for you to move here? Was the art scene, the music scene?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely that. You know, I listened to you folks. My first concert here was actually RPQ, Rumpus Percussion Quartet.
Oh, wow.
You guys were playing on that. So, like, I was, like, kind of familiar with this. I heard some Vandermark and stuff and some other things, but, like, really just going out to Brain and that kind of stuff really, you know, was illuminating for me.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. Your musical education, did you start on the cello or what was your first instrument?
So I just kind of started playing cello recently.
Oh, okay. So no.
I mean, recently, I guess in like 2 to 3 years ago, I was playing guitar for a while. I studied composition in school.
Got it.
I did a lot of writing then with Zbeck. We split a bill a couple nights. I don't know if you remember that. You were with James Falzone and Fred Longberg Home.
Oh, with my trio. And what was your group that you were?
It was called Zbeck. It was two horn players, and then
Where was that at that we did that?
I think it was like Heaven Gallery or something, or like it was like is
it
in
was
that
on
area.
Milwaukee Avenue. It was in Wicker Park.
That was a long time ago.
Wow. That's right.
Yeah. So that was kind of like my vehicle for a lot of composition that I did then. But the past few years, I've mostly been just improvising with a couple of exceptions, you know. Yeah.
What, if you could talk a little bit about the interface you were using and that the audience has just heard. It looks like a lot of patch chords involved.
Oh, yeah. That's a recent development. And okay. I got sucked into the world of modular synths. You know, that was, that's been, you know, if you ask my partner, she'll say, you know, I can't remember when I started doing it, but she'll tell you when the tiny packages started coming, you know?
Yeah. Well, you were utilizing a lot of samples and you were using them in a really organic fashion. I really appreciate how flowing everything was.
Oh, thank you.
And how do you decide on, I know this might be a big question, but how do you decide on like specific samples for a performance? Like tonight, did you already have a whole sample bank ready to go?
I just had a baby recently.
Congratulations.
So for this particular concert, I had planned on prepping stuff like this whole past week, and I haven't got a chance to do that really because, you know, sometimes...
Really? No baby, time with the new baby?
Baby, yeah, exactly, right. And so I worked before this, and I prepared that bank at work just a
while you were working.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. The way I listen to music is very like ADD sometimes, where it's like I have half a terabyte of music on my phone. And I'll just click like the all songs thing and then it'll just go random. So you get like a lot of really cool juxtapositions of like, it'll be like, I don't know, like Morton Feldman into like Billy Woods or something.
Yeah,
and like sometimes there's like those contrasts.
Really,
are really
sharp contrast. I think that's super cool.
And so, I mean, I think tonight wasn't that, you know, far, like that far apart, but I don't know. I like that sort of thing, you know.
Let's talk a little bit about some of your frequent collaborators here.
Yeah, definitely.
I've noticed that you've been making records and performing with people like Bill Harris.
Oh, Bill Harris.
Jeff Kimmel.
Jeff Kimmel. We actually just played on Saturday at the spot.
Okay.
That was in Lafayette.
Great. Wonderful. Wonderful spot. Big shout out to Paul Baldwin.
Spot.
Yeah, who's got a great spot over there at the spot.
Yeah.
When did you meet Bill?
I met Bill. I feel like I've known Bill my whole life. You know, I've met Bill probably.
Oh, he's from Columbus?
No, he's from Pittsburgh, the Columbus of the East. You know, I don't remember the year, but I feel like I've known Bill for like 4 or 5 years or something.
Cool.
We started improvising together. And then I wrote some pieces for a trio I had with him and Eli Neme, who's all now in Pittsburgh, actually.
Bass player. Is
he? Okay. Yeah, with Ruby.
Yeah, we've had him on Option, actually.
Yeah. Eli. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Bill, right?
Yeah, we have.
And so that's more of a math rocky, like improvised guitar trio. I play guitar in that. That's like one of the few projects I play guitar.
Cool.
And we all write for it. It's cool. It's a cool group. We have one album out with that. I feel like I have a lot of trios with Bill. There's that trio with Jeff Kimmel, where it's electroacoustic. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's running some sort of other instrument, electronic instrument, and then their acoustic instruments. We try to balance that. We have a couple records out. There's one on 577 in Brooklyn. No, that's in Manhattan. Yeah, New York, and then. One on Amalgam that came out recently.
Is that Bill's
name? Yeah, so Bill started it, I think, in 2015. I could be mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're actually, so I jumped on there fairly recently. Cool. And we're moving towards, it's really exciting. We're moving towards like a democratic like panel, like where people have submissions, make submissions, and then we all like kind of vote on it, and everything's anonymous.
So that's
in the works. That'll start up next year.
So you find that you're getting regular submissions already?
Well, we haven't started yet.
Oh, you haven't started yet. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but we'll be moving to that next year.
Oh, that's cool. Fantastic. Yeah. Great.
I don't know if the cat's out of the bag.
No, it is now. I was listening to a record. I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong. Is it Anamoy?
Okay. So that's
Norman
part of this.
Long and Electronics, who's fantastic.
I love Norman.
And I don't know Will McKenna.
Will's McKenna, he's from the Evanston, actually.
Oh, well.
Tenor player, fantastic tenor player. He also plays with me in this group called Giraffe.
Okay.
But where to start? So Anamoy is part of like this three album kind of pandemic compilation. Mm-hmm. I got some funding for earlier this year. It was like that. Then I found out I was going to have a baby, and I was just like, oh, I have to do all this work.
Yeah,
like,
get right it done before born, the yeah. work starts. Yeah.
So, that's just three different groups. The Anamoy is, Norman on synthesizers and samplers, and then Will's McKenna on tenor, and then Bill on drums, and then I'm playing cello and electronics.
Wonderful. And was it all improvised, or were there some
that
sketches?
That was all improvised, and then okay. We got to some nice little zones, some like free jazz zones, and then like Norman was doing, I feel like that... Yeah, all three of the albums I feel like are completely different places, and that's kind of what I wanted. And there's the collection of people who are fantastic, were from all over the place also in terms of background and stuff like that.
Are you sticking primarily to digital and CD formats in Amalgam? Are you going to try to produce vinyl?
I think we're figuring that out. I think it's CD format, but with exceptions, like if people wanted to do a thing, you know. Yeah, what do people like buying? Like, what do you
people
like?
Well, most people don't buy anything. most people right. who stream.
That's true.
To be completely honest.
Yeah.
But what I've noticed in the past at least 5 years, probably more now, vinyl is the thing that people get most excited about.
I know. And it's very expensive.
It's very expensive to make, but it's also kind of expensive to ship too.
Right.
So the reason I don't produce vinyl on my label is I don't want to charge someone more to ship than what the vinyl costs.
Right.
So it's just like a little like dumb little thing I have.
Yeah.
Problem. It's my problem. It's no one else. It's like I don't want to sell something for $20 and then have to spend $25, $28 to ship. So
yeah, totally.
I don't make vinyl. But that seems to be kind of like the going like way to sell the music.
Right.
People get really excited about vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
So you all do what you want to do.
I mean, you know, you're probably right. Yeah. I mean, you know,
vinyl is awesome. I love listening to vinyl. I like to pretend like, oh, I could tell the difference between analog sound waves and digital sound waves. No, I can't. I've been playing free jazz drums for 30 years. I can't tell shit anymore.
You can't hear anything anymore.
Yeah. You know, all you hear is my kids screaming all day.
Exactly.
You know? you're going to hear that soon too, if you're not already. But analog sound waves are smoother. So it's awesome because it's smooth analog sound waves and you can really hear the difference. It's like, not really. But I do appreciate the bigger package and like the artwork.
Yeah, it's like a thing. It's like a little product.
It's really nice. Yeah. But in my personal opinion, CDs are still...
I don't mind them at all
because they still get you still have a product, you still have artwork, you still have liner notes.
Like the files, I'll just play them on my phone.
For a year and then you moved back to Chicago than because Chicago is the greatest city in the country.
I missed you all so much.
And you missed all of us. Yeah. What was the reason to coming back to Chicago?
I mean, it was mainly like work money stuff.
Yeah. Where were you at when you're in New York?
I was in Astoria because she commuted to Rutgers, my partner.
Okay. Got it.
And so that was a good little middle ground. Astoria is very lovely. A lot of good food and stuff around there. There's the Noguchi Museum. There's nearby, and there's Astoria Park's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of the stuff was happening in either like Brooklyn or like Ridgewood or something. Yeah. Some stuff in Manhattan, but like, no, I mean, I love New York. I miss it dearly. I miss my friends from over there. I'm actually trying to soon. I'm bringing pianist from there, Eli Wallace, out.
Oh, he's great. I think we've had him on Option once too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
he's wonderful. So we're gonna do some recording and a couple shows with this new group I'm putting together with Bill and Josh Berman, which will be cool.
Very nice.
That'll be fun.
Well, I guess a couple other things I'll ask about. One is what's next as far as projects. I know, speaking personally, when you have kids, everything changes. But do you have any
I have a bunch of plans.
You
okay,
have a bunch
so
of plans? Let's.
So part of that three album compilation, the next one's called Akjai. It's coming out. In 2 weeks or 1 week, like a week and a day. Is that an old standard?
That's a nice title for something. Can I borrow it? Week and a day.
You can,
Let me write that down.
A week and a day. you don't have a pencil. Come on. So that's a string trio with Andrew Scott Young, Johanna Brock, and, dear friend of mine, Brianna Tong, vocalist.
Oh, fantastic. And you're composing specifically for that?
No, so that's improvised too, but we used texts that Brianna wrote, and also Octavia Butler, and also R.A. Washington from Cleveland. He's a part of Morning A Black Star. Yeah.
Cool.
So that's coming out. And then in December, there's another. The third one is called Hearsay with Bill and Ellen Moore on... If you've never heard Ellen Moore, you're fucking up. It's like, can I say that? I don't know.
Of course. Okay. You can. This is an experimental sound studio. We can experiment with language.
Yeah.
just like we could experiment.
But with sound. Alan's, do you know Alan?
Yeah, I've met Alan. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Alan's great. He does turntables, and he hand makes his own.
Yeah, I saw him once.
And it kind of sounds like a lot of that.
I didn't know what I was expecting, and I went into a performance. It was actually something you organized at Oriton.
Whoa.
Yes, I remember that.
That's when I met Alan, actually.
And Alan was, I was like, who's this turntablist? And it was just so original.